This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Live and Learn. I'm Chua Eun Teik. For many of us, play is a luxury, but for kids, play is life, and toys are the tools of early learning. My guest today creates and tests educational toys for a living. She's Dr. Deborah Weber, Director of Early Childhood Development Research at Fisher-Price. Dr. Weber, welcome.
Thank you.
So, you know, getting paid to make toys seems like every child's dream job at some point. And I read that you are trained in early childhood education and training. Was this always part of the plan of, you know, did you have this in mind in your career path, or did you plan to teach or go into academia?
Well, first of all, it is a dream job. That's true. I've always been very interested in childhood development and working with kids, so I feel very fortunate to get to do that every day. Actually, when I was as young as a first grader, I pretended to be a teacher in my role play, and I would use my stuffed animals and set them in front of me and play school. So children have always been a keen interest of mine, from role-playing teacher to babysitting and being a nanny, and that really led me to want to pursue a degree in early childhood development.
Yeah. So, for first grader, that's about
seven. I was seven.
Yeah. So, yeah, how did you end up in your current role then?
Well, because of my interest in working with the kids and in following up with their early childhood degree, I landed a job at Fisher-Price as a consultant for one of the very first toys that they designed and developed to work with computers. So it was the era of computer peripherals way back in the day in 1994. So I've been at Fisher-Price for quite some time. And then over the years, my role developed, allowing me to grow into more and more senior positions.
Walk me through some of this. What comes first when you're putting together a good toy? How do you design a toy? Do you think of the intention or the purpose of the toy first, or do you go in thinking, I want to create something that stimulates, you know, a child's imagination of being a teacher or being an architect or an engineer?
Sure. We at the Play Lab, I'm lucky enough to have a team of designated early childhood development experts. And one of our responsibilities is to create a curriculum framework of skills for children to have acquired before they enter kindergarten. So Fisher-Price's toys are really designed for that youngest baby, newborn, all the way up until 5 years old. And we use that curriculum framework of skills that foster whole child development to really guide the design of the toys that we create. And because we really want to foster all of those skills, we use that as a framework, as well as observations of children. We observe children each and every day. We are super busy. And it's not just the developmental experts that observe the children, but most importantly, it's the designers, it's the engineers, it's the marketing people, it's the whole team that works together and collaborates to design a given toy. They use those observations as well as our guidance to develop and design play features and play patterns that address those skills that are so important for children to have before they enter kindergarten.
A play that sounds amazing.
It is. We have four research labs, and each one of them has their own purpose, so to speak. Our main play lab is literally a huge playroom with lots of toys in it for us to test toys in, from the very earliest stages of development all the way through the final product. But in this play lab space, we can not only test toys that we're working on that day, but we can also engage in ongoing observation. So have that long-term observation of children's play patterns over time. And that's where you really see, in addition to observations of your specific new toy you're working on, you also see repeat play patterns. And an example of a play pattern that you would see today that you wouldn't even see 3 years ago is children pretending to take selfies.
Yeah, yeah.
And children actually knowing all the emojis, not all of them, but, you know, the basic ones. So you see a lot of the children are a reflection of our culture, right, and the world around them. And so their types of play in the things that you observe today for the ongoing play patterns do evolve, just as our culture does, and our toys are a direct reflection of the world in which we live in. So it's really cool to see all those nuances and then use those observations and say, okay, let's think about that for toy design.
Yeah, it's so interesting because toys, in a way, reflect what current tools we have at the moment. You mentioned selfies, so that's a smartphone.
Right.
Some toys reflect iPads or smart devices, but as a tool to get them to learn the alphabets, for example. Do you get parents involved in this process when thinking about prototypes and whatnot?
We do. And as much as we have children come to the play lab and observe the children, we also have parents come in. That's really where all the magic starts. It starts with the children and the families, the parents of the children, and better understanding their needs and their interests of today and tomorrow. That's what makes Play Lab really the heart of early childhood development at Fisher-Price, because we provide those research observations and experiences for all of our product teams to come down and watch in the here and now, you know, each and every day, because we're pretty much testing 5 days a week.
Yeah, you said something really interesting, that you're looking for repeated patterns of how the children play. And I was thinking, a lot of parents now, when they talk about parenting, especially when kids are young, that it's hard to get them occupied or get them focused on the task or keep them interested. So I was thinking, when you're designing toys, I was wondering, is the intention first to occupy the attention of the kids, or does it come inherently if you create an interesting toy that is that they find rewarding or stimulating or challenging?
I think pretty much a little bit of all the above. First and foremost, you want a great toy is fun, it's engaging, it makes children curious to learn a little bit more about it, and in that own sense, it captures their attention and their interest, and they want to engage and play with it. So, but in addition to that, you want to provide a rich, playful learning experience by designing those toys with developmental play features and play patterns for the children to be able to use the toys as tools for learning.
What does that mean, developmental features?
Features that are appropriate for the different ages and stages.
Learning how to hold a pencil, would that count, or learning how to...
Sure. I mean, you could include that. We have our Magna Doodle boards that come with a stylus that you can write on. It's quite a toy that's been around for a really long time, so recognizable by people. That would be a play feature of a toy. One of our Think and Learn toys is the Write to Learn desk, where it has letters that you can move around on it and create words. And also has a surface with a stylus where you could practice your writing skills.
Is your competition from technology something that you think a lot these days because of how much kids are preoccupied with their gadgets?
We embrace change. We really need to use it as an opportunity for innovation, right? To revolutionize our toy design each and every day. We live in this digital era where it's all around us. These children are growing up in a world that we didn't grow up in, and it's a part of their everyday. So it's important for us to embrace that, because toys are a reflection of our culture, and because we know our children are a reflection of us in the world around them, and wanting to really simulate and act out what they're seeing in their own environment. We take that and put it into our toys to ensure that while you're exposing them to different types of digital play or technology-enhanced play, that the toy has that developmental appropriateness that I was alluding to, that's appropriate for their different ages and stages and needs for today.
I'm speaking today to play expert Dr. Deborah Weber from Fisher-Price about making the most out of play. Up next, I'll ask her how toys can bring children closer to science. Stay with us, BFM 89.9. Welcome back. You're listening to Live and Learn. I'm Troy Antic. Dr. Deborah Weber is here with me. She's the Director of Early Childhood and Development Research at Fisher-Price. I'm asking her how we can make the most out of play for our kids with the right toys. So STEM education is something that you and Fisher-Price believe strongly in. Tell me about the link. How can appropriate toys lead to a child's inclination towards something like STEM education?
Sure. We really believe that STEM education is super important today because of the world that we're living in that's ever-changing. Children are going to be needing to have these STEM skills to build that foundation for lifelong learning and ultimate success. And at Fisher-Price, because we design and develop for the youngest age, we incorporate early STEM skills, STEM play, into our toys as young as 3 years old. We have a think and learn toy collection. And when we talk about introducing early STEM skills to our preschoolers, science, technology, engineering, and mathematics, an example of an early science skill that we introduce children to are colors. And colors are science. An example of an early engineering skill are building blocks. So an example of early mathematics is counting or sorting or planning and sequencing. And so when we talk about early STEM, it's people don't often think of it as like breaking it down to the child's age. And those are inherently concepts that are under the world of, you know, the overarching STEM approach. And so with our Think and Learn toys, one of the toys is called Codapillar, and we designed that toy to help preschoolers, to expose preschoolers how to code, and they really can do it. And this is actually a hands-on toy. It is a toy that has been designed with what we call segments. So each, the Codapillar comes with multiple segments that have different directions on them. So one segment has a straight arrow, another has a right arrow, and then a left arrow. And then, you know, we also incorporated the fun and magic with a silly sound segment. So the children can, through that Codapillar toy, each segment has a specific color. So all the straights are one color, all the directionals are different colors. So you can, that it's a prompt for the parents to be able to introduce color. It's also a prompt for children or for parents to introduce direction, straight, right, left. And most importantly, and really the true goal with the toy is for children to use the segments in such a way to get it from point A to point B. So we've included targets, a green target and a red target, so they could place them in different areas and meet the challenge of coding their Codapillar to start at the green target and end up at the red target, and even go around objects, or you can lose the targets and just try to get Codapillar to go into your brother or sister's room. So it's really been wonderful and magical to see that children do get it. It's the earliest form of coding through hands-on play that's intuitive for them and at their level of their age and stage.
That's fascinating. Does it not get down to the heart of the nurture versus nature debate? Are you able to tell from the toys that they gravitate or lean towards, you know, building blocks or coding?
In terms of the Codapillar, the play with Codapillar, all the kids, this is such a magical toy. It's and you don't always get that with every toy. Children of, you know, from 3 to 5, boys and girls, adults alike, parents, we've observed the children not only in the play lab playing with other children but also with parents, really enjoy playing with the toy and have such a great time. And so I kind of kid around with my team here is that we really think that Codapillar age grade should be 3 to 99, because everyone has fun playing with it. But it's just been a wonderful toy to engage in that not unstructured problem solving play. Every day you play with it, you can play with it in a different way, and encode the Caterpillar to, you know, from simple paths to complex paths. So it's a nice grow with me toy as well.
Have our taste or children's what children look for or want in a toy changed much since you first started in this field?
What they're exposed to today is very different from what a child may have been exposed to, like I was talking about earlier, even three to five years ago. I think that their expectations are their everyday. It's not that they suddenly say, well, I expect more out of a toy. It's just what it is. You know, it's the toys that they're provided. It's the environment that they're living in that is their normal. And I'm going to digress just a titch, but even in my household with my girls are older. I have a 13 and a 16-year-old. But technology is so infused in our day-to-day. My 13-year-old talks to the TV. She doesn't use a remote control. You know, we're all connected, and so it's different. And so when the children come into play, you know, I think that their expectations are that they're going to, you know, that there are so many different types of toys, and toys do so many different things. And they really approach it, you know, in a – they don't have set expectations of what something that needs to do or should do. So I think that in that regard, they're just living in the moment. You know, they're living in the world that they live in and what they're exposed to. Having said that, an anecdotal experience that I had, it was actually quite some time ago. I'm going to date myself when I say this, but when we were in the play lab and we had a couple of toys we were testing, and they were toy trucks. And the toy truck had on it elements, play features that you had to, you know, lift levers and push buttons and things like that. And when the child began to play with the toy truck, he was pressing the buttons and using the levers, and he said, "This toy's broken." And we said, "What do you mean?" He goes, "It doesn't have any sounds." So yes, there are expectations. And today, you know, I think one of the other ones is like when children, even the youngest babies, you've seen I don't know if you've seen it, but there was an article out when iPads became really, really prevalent. And it was an 18-month-old, and she was going through – she was using a real magazine, but she was swiping the pages because she thought she could swipe the pages, and because she obviously had exposure to iPads and swiping. Mm-hmm. So expectations, I think they're really open to all kinds of toys, but – yes, there are different expectations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you are in this privileged position where you know the best toys out there. For parents thinking about how to buy the right toys for their kids, how did you go about that with your own kids? I imagine the toys that you get to play with and the toys that your daughters get to play with are radically different, or am I wrong?
There are some that are tried and true. They've been around forever. And then, of course, there are the new toys, the toys that have evolved with our culture. So for families, the best guidance I think that they can use to choose the right toy for their child's age and stage are the cues that you can unpackage, whether you're online evaluate or trying to pick out toys, or whether you're in the stores and looking at the packaging. We provide an age grade for all of our toys that give parents the guidance of what age and stage the toy has been designed for. So that is a really nice trick or tip to use when you're trying to choose a toy. The other one is also the toy manufacturers will provide on the package specific skills that the toy helps develop or foster, and that gives you guidance in terms of what the toy is trying to introduce and expose the child to, first and foremost, and then in addition to the the information on the package. Children, you know, engage in learning through play, and their learning goes beyond those three skills that happen to be on the package or on the detail when you're shopping online. But those are really nice ways to guide parents and gift givers to pick out the right toy for the right age and stage of the child, is the age grade on the package, as well as the skills that it helps develop.
I too will be dating myself. I was born in this, in the age on the cusp of the internet era, and so there was a time without an internet that I remember, and so I had to play with toys and just create this imaginary world or reality for these figurines to inhabit. So much like how you would teach to your play the role of a teacher. How important is play for children? You know, because with technology now, there's not very much imagination to be done, I reckon, if you are just passively giving your kids a TV program to watch, for example.
Sure. Play is so important. Play is child's work. It's children learn through play each and every day. And with our influx of digital technology and digital play and devices and whatnot, it's just really important to keep in mind a balance of not only offering digital play, but also offering play with traditional toys. So for us to think that we shouldn't, or kids shouldn't, interact and play with digital play or gadgets is really not a reflection of the world around us. And we need to, that's why we're incorporating these STEM skills into our toys as well, as our other additional traditional toys. So with technology and our digital revolution, it's just, I think, important to keep in mind the balance of all the different types of play that are important to children, the traditional play as well as the digital play.
Yeah. So no right or wrong types, just always keep in mind balance.
Keep in mind balance, and, you know, be able to provide different types of play opportunities and experiences. We call it a well-rounded toy box of a variety of different ways to play. But in addition to that, you know, play is not only with toys or with gadgets. You know, playtime happens all day long. You know, when I think about play and the importance of it and how children learn through play, it's going to, you know, a little gym class. That's all about, like, physical development and playing with others and playing games. It's about going, taking your child to, you know, a children's museum and interacting with all the hands-on exhibits. That is, like, play at its finest, right? So, or going for a walk with your child and talking about, you know, all of the things that they're seeing around them. That's oh my gosh, did you see that blue bird? He flew so high. You know, I mean, so there are so many, like, there are so many teachable moments around you, each and every day that you can engage in a playful way, those teachable moments. So play is not just about toys. You know, play is about play time and socializing with other children and adults alike, and also giving play time for children to play by themselves.
Dr. Deborah Weber, it's been great speaking to you.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Live and Learn, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.